Well, hello, everybody.
My name's Douglas Newsom.
Tyler Gallagher here.
And...
Go ahead, Doug.
No, please, introduce ourselves.
And this is the second installment of Inner Dialogue.
Inner Dialogue. I love that name. I bet you every host out there with a different show would love to have that name. And we're open to negotiation, aren't we, Tyler?
Doug loves it because he came up with it.
Yes. Perhaps that's 51% of the reason.
How was your week, Doug?
Good.
Last week, yeah?
Good. A lot of great things have occurred. Mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Everything's on the up and up.
Good. No, I got to tell you, if there's a year to start aligning everything, you know, your health, your wisdom, you know, your knowing who you are, your pretty much everything, would be the year 2008. I feel it's a very beautiful, powerful year that's going to bring a lot for the right people, the good people, the people out there really growing the world and doing their part to add love to the experience, I guess.
There's so many things that run through my head, and 99% of my energy seems to be spent on, you know, what is the most desirable thing for me to be in the future, or the desirable thing for me, not in the future, but what can I do now to be at my peak? For all of time. So if I was to think, okay, this is me 1,000 years from now, through a dozen incarnations, who would I be? You know, and then I try to think, what would that person be, who feel like or be like inside of me?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Your mind goes through a lot.
And then I figure what's most important to those beings. And most people would say, love. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're right.
Love, like the binding principle. But then you read stuff. You read stuff, Tyler, and it blurs you a little bit. And here's what you read. You got the fourth chakra of love, and we're going into some fourth density environment that the Earth is going through that appeals to the fourth chakra.
Yeah.
But there's really fifth density and sixth density and seventh for the different chakras.
Can I ask you something? I'm so glad you just said that. Do you want to know why?
What?
Because I want to get your thoughts on it to a deeper level. Because, so funny, I've had this developing thought in my head, and I want to share it with you. I've shared it with you.
Yeah.
I've already heard this. And I want to see more of your thoughts, because I love it, because you prod this from me. You make me think of these things, or you make these things, you know, become available to my conscience. And I want to get your thoughts.
Sure.
So, because of this show, I've been really hungry for reading books, and I went to a phenomenal bookstore on Saturday called The Bodhi Tree. If any of you are in Los Angeles, God, this is an incredible store. You cannot miss out on it. It's just at Melrose and San Vicente, and it's just a phenomenal bookstore. It really blows my mind, how much knowledge we really don't know, how much is available. But, I did my regular thing where I trusted my intuition, and I kind of let myself just, everything that happens for a reason. And long story short, I ended up through my process of just browsing through the bookstore, reading, you know, first pages. I got this great book, and the front cover was Intuition. And something very much that appealed to me. And this book was not a disappointment. And my first chapter, just reading the chapter, I was sucked in. 40 pages, I could not stop reading. And
then you wanted to discuss the idea of intuition. For me, we kind of got into a verbal,
but
terminology.
I want to discuss intuition, but I want to get your thoughts on this. Okay?
Sure.
And we had this discussion. I want to get the audience's.
Yeah, let's hear your opinion, or at least you can think your opinion.
So this book is brilliant because it's so funny. I find this with myself, and I know Doug was telling the same, and I'm sure you all experienced
it. What's it called? What's the book? By who?
Intuition by Osho.
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 Osho. Intuition by Osho. Very
new author to me. I've never read his stuff before. This guy blows my mind.
I knew you said it was fairly simple and straightforward.
Which I enjoy, and that's what I was going to get to. Because you talked about fourth chakra, fifth chakra, center of this. And I believe in this. In this book, it talks about how there's three levels of living. There's our unconscious, there's our instincts, and there's our intuitive. And there's those three. So, you know, the first instinct is just things that we do without thinking. You know, we breathe, we blink, our blood...
Motor function.
Exactly. Our whole body is based on instinct, right? If you look at the animal kingdom, it's instinct. You know, I'm talking about, it talks in the book about a crocodile, the father is eating his kids all the time because his instinct is just to eat a good meal. He doesn't know what love is or those are his kids. So the mom, this is a true story, this is true of nature, that the mom has to hide the baby crocodiles in her mouth so the father doesn't eat them. But anyways, I want to get your thoughts. I'll wrap this up quick. So I believe, so he talks about instinct, which is animals, and then he talks about, so unconscious, instinct, and intuition. Sorry, because again, I just read this book. He talks about how we have instinct, but he says that we have the logical part of us and the intuition part of us, like the intellect part of us. One, you call it left brain. So instinct is, you know, animal instincts. You see, you want to eat, you're hungry, there's no thought, no remorse. Second one is logic. Albert Einstein creating atomic energy, creating E.
Both forms of intuition.
Sure.
So instinct is intuition?
I don't know. That's a great question.
I don't know. I always think intuition, this is where I was killing him on the terminology. It's because, for me, intuition almost implies a foreboding or a feeling, where something that comes to you when you reach out to the, let's say, consciousness and you're pulling down information, it's almost like you're deriving innate knowledge. Knowledge you don't have to work for, you don't have to say, it just came to you. It's innate. It's innate by the very... But intuition kind of almost appeals to a sixth sense. Well, sense means feeling or aesthetic appreciation in some form. So being that it's along those lines, it's feeling-oriented. So I was kind of wanting to figure out, we were here battling, but I couldn't understand the idea of intuition.
Yeah, but we'll get to that, because I'd love to have that. That's going to be a great discussion. But I want to get your thoughts on this, because we talked about it for a minute. And so in knowing that we have that instinct, which is born in us, we have that logic, which if any of you know Douglas is logic and left brain and list, and this guy is just a wealth of information. And then there's intuitive. And that's just knowledge, but it coming from a place of connectivity. It's like instantaneous, which we're going to get into, because I want to know the definition. I want to get your thoughts. But anyways, so I believe that just like, you know, I believe we've evolved as humans. You know, I wasn't around for the evolution, so I can't say and verify 100% that we came from apes. But what I can verify is that we've come from medieval times, right, where ladies were thought of nothing, slaves pretty much, cleaning our stuff all the time, to now possibly going to be the next president.
Yeah.
You know, so I believe that as he talks about these three things, I started thinking, what about the evolution of our planet? Do you think that there were these three evolutions that occurred? Because I think there was. I think that in the medieval times, the caveman times, whatever you call it, instinct was the evolution. I'm hungry, I see that, you know, and it was all based on instinct, more animal.
But that's not intuition?
We'll get to that. I'm just saying instinct.
Instinct.
So in the medieval times, I'm hungry. Boom. You crossed me, I'm cutting off your neck. No thoughts, this is just instinct. No feelings, no thoughts, off with your neck, I'm hanging you, I'm burning you.
An animalistic instinct.
Animalistic, exactly. More animalistic than today. Today, someone crossed me. It's definitely not burning him or hanging him. I go, okay, he crossed me, but I got to take this into account. And it's like we mix instinct with logic, which is great, right? But I believe there's a time when the evolution was just instinct, right? And that's why we got the hangings, the burnings, the crazy, you know, the just exploring our general instincts. And then I believe there was an evolution into logic, which I believe occurred 1900s to, you know, I'd say now, you know, and it was very important in our evolution. Einstein, you know, Bill Gates creating computers, all of these individual scientists thinking so hard, you know, doing so much to get this information available to us. And now you can go to school, you can read the right book. And if you really wanted to, you could learn how to build a plane, or it'd take you a long time and a lot of study, but it's there. It's available, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in knowing, in that, in believing that we've gone through an instinct, you know, growth, we've gone through a logic growth, I truly believe that the age we're in now is intuition growth. And I want to get your thoughts on that, Doug. So first up, why don't we start off with definition? What would you define intuition is? Or even give me your thoughts on what I just said.
I think that we actually had logic back during the time of the caveman. And we really came from a period of using forward instincts. It's more of a forward-gathering nature, an idea of hoarding our stuff for a future emergency, or thinking ahead, more like the idea of having to plan. A human individual got the idea of planning, and that kind of made life different. But I think intuition is feeling.
Okay, but hold on. Hold off on intuition for 2 seconds. I love this. Let me ask you this. Would you agree, though, in the medieval times, caveman times, whatever time you call it, Renaissance, Columbus days, that, you know how they say we use 10% of our brain?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that in those days it was 100% instinct, maybe 5% brain? I'm just saying, would you agree that in those times
I would agree
more
60 or,
instinct
I believe,
than
yes.
knowledge?
I'd
great.
Say
cool.
If we
that's
60
what,
or 70,000 years ago till
yes.
maybe 30,000 years ago,
uh-huh.
instinct. Then after that,
but logic
a
was
logic.
In there, just not
yeah.
developed.
Right. And
now
you've got
yeah.
logic that's falling. I believe
okay.
that.
Yeah.
I do.
Uh-huh.
And I think now Tyler's right. We are coming into a different age, absolutely. I wouldn't call it an age of intuition. I would call it the age of feeling, the age of the heart, where the love really does apply. Do you know what I mean?
But what is intuition, then?
Intuition
what is your definition?
Is like, intuition would be like a sixth sense, but it's sensory.
I agree, intuition would be sixth sense. 100%.
But it's sensory. It's like the hairs on the back of your neck would stand up.
Mm-hmm.
But your energy, some outside energy is affecting your energy, which is creating this kind of intuitive knowledge, an awareness of something more. But when you get something that's downloaded, it's almost like innate. It's like today what's happening is people are tying into a collective consciousness more.
Yes, I love that you just said that.
And,
now define
and by
collective
the way,
consciousness.
You see, people are able to...
you know where I'm going with this.
I know where you're going, and I totally agree.
Define
you're thinking
collective.
About work and the idea... Knowledge, the idea
And remember
knowledge.
the Ford thing.
Yeah.
Going to collective consciousness, because you just made a great point.
Well, I think today, all knowledge, through all time and all space, being that there is none or there is, depending on what perspective you want to go into it, it's all there... In consciousness, it literally lives in everything to some degree, or all degree. But we can reach out and we can tap into this super conscious awareness. Now it might be the awareness that comes from a white hole in a cell. I don't know. Okay, but we can link into this total bank of knowledge.
So let me add to that, because I love you dearly, and you are just this is. You, I'm blown away, really, truly, this is a genuine comment, by the intellect on you.
No, that's fine.
I gotta tell you, one of the things that blows my mind, you know, in having conversations with you, I truly feel this. I want to have this better vocabulary. I have conversations with you, and leaving your conversations, I'm like, man, I gotta I gotta get some Douglas vocab.
But you know what? This is where Tyler is right, because he mentions to me, Doug, damn, I got this story. You know how I used to always think knowledge isn't that important. It's almost like you have to slow down to experience something if you have to take knowledge in consideration of that something. For example, you come upon an event. You stop. You think back into your background to get a feeling of the nature moving forward, and then you move into the future,
hold on. Stay on collective conscience. I want to add to that before we keep going.
Okay.
Because I want to keep definition of what intuition is, what I believe our day and age is, and collective conscience, because I believe they tie together.
Mm-hmm.
So like I was saying, dearly, dearly admire that about you. But for the folks such as myself that have a simple vocabulary, and just in case what Douglas was saying, I just want to make it in simple terms. Collective conscience, would you agree in pretty much what you're saying? I'm just dumbing it down really simple, blunt, to the point. If I were to shoot someone in the head, the collective conscience is, and by the way, collective conscience, I agree, is all knowledge ever. So when Einstein discovered his theories, when Hitler, you know, did what he did, when anything that's occurred in our world, all the events, knowledge, if it happened in secret, in public, it's all been put into what we would call collective conscience, right?
Right, right.
Okay, perfect. So if I were to shoot you in the head and only you and I were in here and you died, that's released to collective conscience. And someone who's never met me before, right, who's able to tap into the collective conscience could meet me and immediately have an intuitive feeling or innate knowledge, like you said,
right,
and know that I shot somebody or that there's something bad about me, something dark, something uneasy, correct?
So what you're saying, yay, by the way, this is very good. What you might be saying is not only from the bot bank do you get innate knowledge, you also get an intuition. Is this what you're implying?
Holy crap.
Is this what you're implying?
Elaborate on the collective consciousness,
what you might be implying, collective consciousness not only supplies innate knowledge or, you know, that's there, that resides there now, and it just is downloaded to you, right?
Holy crap! I just had a discovery as you're saying this. Go ahead.
And intuition, per se, it's guiding the intuitional force too, that energy force.
Like
that could
I got,
be the case.
I got an example. Is this what you're trying to say? Because this hit me. And if we're connecting like I think we are, it's going to smoke you. So you're trying to say that innate knowledge is knowledge. It's known.
It's out there.
Yes.
But a receiver gets it without having to do anything.
Got it.
It doesn't even matter about the question.
So it's like this. Innate knowledge sort of ties into intellect because it's knowledge. And what about intuition? Intuition, let's say that it's a feeling.
Feeling.
It doesn't have knowledge attached.
Right.
You just feel bad. Do you get it? So you got this collective conscience that smoked you. You all of a sudden just feel bad about this individual. You don't know why, you just do. That's intuition.
Yeah.
Then you get innate knowledge. This guy might have done something in private that's turning me off. Do you think that innate knowledge and intuition work together?
It's interesting.
What are your thoughts of that?
That could be the case. And it could be the case
if
you're actually getting your intuition before you get the download of innate knowledge.
Yes!
That could be.
Holy cow! So would it be safe to say that intuition stems into innate knowledge?
Yeah, I guess they work hand in foot,
well,
don't they?
Isn't that interesting?
But then I always thought that in order to get to the collective conscious mindset,
yes,
does it involve feeling? When you link into consciousness,
mm-hmm,
you have to feel to get there.
I love that. Let me think on that. Well, let's think. How? Because here's what I believe. We're able to tap into the collective conscience when we're open. What I've learned in my journey here, my short journey, I'm a young man, I've learned that to open our door, to call it open, for whatever it is, I'm opening my door, whether it be I just asked for a car and I want it to happen, or whether I'm connecting with this person and I want to really be there, I believe to truly be able to open up, you got to be in your peak state. I don't believe that you can have intuition or innate knowledge or a connection with anyone when you're in a shitty mood or you're down or you're just not open. So I would say that, yes, feeling would be involved because I believe that and able to tap in your higher self, you need to be in your peak state of allowance.
Interesting, because I would love to know the answer to that because I don't know. There'd probably be people out there that would agree. Not either they all would. Nobody's ever asked that question. I don't know. I haven't read that answer.
So this could be a question.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys could email us this week.
Yeah.
We have our emails listed
at
BBS.
Doug at BBS Radio or Tyler at BBS Radio. But do you need feeling to link into
intuition?
The collective knowledge.
Or collective conscience.
Yeah.
Keep it simple, collective conscience.
Yeah.
Do you need feeling to connect to your collective conscience? The collective conscience.
Yeah.
Not yours. It's available to everybody.
Yeah.
The collective conscience.
Good question, huh?
That is a great question.
You know, yeah, I got to pose this other question.
My answer is yes. So I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I'm going to put it right now. I'm going to put it out. Douglas, I say yes.
I almost think that when you... I don't know. Did Einstein have feelings when he thought of something?
This is the thing. Einstein is the perfect example of someone who tapped into his logic, his knowledge. I don't know
come from the same place?
No. Wait, here's the thing. Let me ask you this, right?
Maybe you can. You know what I say?
Let me ask you this.
Yes and no.
Okay, but let me ask you this. And this is brilliant. I believe that Einstein was a left-brained person.
Mm-hmm.
Who needed facts, figures, numbers, and he needed tangible things to come up with decisions. So I would say I don't believe that Einstein, to come up with what he came up with, was intuitive. Or I don't know, this is interesting. Let me get your thoughts.
I think that innate knowledge can come to you in a flash, regardless of how you feel. I think it's almost arbitrary. It's happened at times of great feeling or before death or maybe before some cataclysmic event it comes upon you. It might be joined with a feeling because the knowledge that's been given to you, but I think it's probably increased your ability to get there if you work with feeling more.
It's something interesting. So what about putting them hand in hand? What if in order to tap into your intuition, the collective conscience quicker and more, you know, rapidly,
you should be in a better feeling state.
I agree
with that.
But you're right, because there's possibilities for everything. You are able to access it. You could access it.
Let's say an evil alien that's more evolved than us.
Yeah.
They can access it too, but they just don't have the feeling fiber, the moral code to go along with that, or the spiritual base. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe... Or maybe they're not allowed. Maybe unless you've learned more about that, let's say, quote, heart chakra, which I don't, you know, that you don't get that ability to go into the collective consciousness. But maybe Hitler could go into the collective consciousness. I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting, because that's all beyond me.
I
don't know that stuff. I've never met an alien.
If I ever hear that somebody puts rules on how you can reach into collective consciousness, well, you can't do that, and you can't do this, and that's like, don't you love that? That's going to, some book, this is what I dislike
about spiritual wisdom,
they always give you a box before they give you an open door, and then they give you another wall or two. Anything that takes away from your ability to believe in what you want to, and feel that sort of freedom and love, then it's probably and most likely wrong.
Touche.
Oh, but you even made it, and you know this, if it's not simple.
I agree. I believe that the closer you are to the truth, the more simple the explanation. I think the more complicated you get, I think the further you are away from the truth.
I believe that.
Hold on, I want to add to what you said. Touche first. That was brilliant. I caught what you just did, and it's great. I agree with you. And thank you for that, because, you know, we're all only in our human experience, and I don't ever want to say, you're only able to do this, you're only able to, I always want to keep my channels open, my mind open, and thank you for that. You know what? I would say that you're right. I believe that. I'm sure, just like anything, you could tap into it without being in your peak state. But I would say that I think being in your peak state helps.
I would, too. And I think you'll probably pull in better knowledge.
Yes.
Higher knowledge.
Yes, and you'll be more clear on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So interesting. So let me ask you this. So here's the struggle I've been having recently. When I went to the bookstore, right, I had multiple amounts of books. And I got to tell you, when I was reading some of these books, it got so complicated.
Oh.
I've heard everything from the Elohim to the Fifth Dimension to Planet X to this and that. And listen, I'm not one to strike people and say you're wrong and I'm right. But I would like to challenge, and I like to stay true to myself. And I just got to tell you, with like Fifth Dimension and, you know, the crystallization process. And that you have to wear a pyramid on your head, and you have to be in the dark, and you have to light matches around you in a circle. I just don't know about that.
I think that's caveman days.
For us to be able to get to the explanations we've gotten to today, we needed that. We needed to realize that putting a pyramid on our head is stupid. No, not stupid. No, and if you wear a pyramid on your head, you know, kudos to you. That's cool.
It does
help. And here's the thing, too. Here's what I've learned to understand. Maybe in some really mixed up, in a very complicated, logical way.
In a complicated world, that's how it works.
That's how a left brain comes to, you know, understanding things, maybe. It takes the Elohim and the Fifth Dimension and the pyramid on the head, and the lighting of the candles, and the whatever else, the chanting, and the ancient Babylonian words that you need to say, and, you know, maybe that all, you know, it helps them get there. But my true belief is this, and this is, I always got to give a warning. I'm only an individual in his human experience with an opinion. So if it doesn't seem real to you, then it's not truth to you. Truth is only, you know, the best way to measure truth is based on your feelings. So if what I say to you hits you and goes, wow, you know, this is interesting, it's making me think, to you it could possibly be true. So I just want to say that. So here's what I believe. I believe that part of our human experience, because I really truly believe, Doug, and we've had this conversation, we chose to come in this body. You know, I've really used this analogy with Douglas a lot lately. Now, I want to share it and get more of your thoughts on it, Doug. I believe more than ever that we all did something. I might have said this in the last show because this is really becoming a huge belief of mine. Every single one of us, there's not one person who is excluded from what I'm about to say. Every single person, including a bum who's eating out of the garbage right now, and that's not like me saying that's a bad thing, that's his experience, that's how he's, you know, his life choices and where he's ended up, but he is no different than me, and I am no different than someone who's flying in a helicopter to land in their mansion, which has a helipad. This applies to everybody. We all did something in a realm beyond our comprehension to be able to be here. Life is nothing less than a reward. I truly believe that this life is nothing less than a reward. And if we're not meant to have struggles and to have the hardest life and to break, have our heart break and to have tears of pain every night. That's not what we're meant to be here for. And if you think that is, I'm really that sorry about that. You know what I mean? And I take that, what I said, to a simple analogy. Every one of us here, it's like we won a trip to the Bahamas. And yeah, I would rather try to spend all my time figuring out where the best place to surf is, the best place to eat is, the best place to catch sun, to meet girls, to just really enjoy my Bahamas vacation, than sitting on the airplane landing, reading books and trying to figure out what and how did this plane come together to bring me to the Bahamas? And not wanting to leave, not wanting to go to my hotel, sleep, or do anything until I understand how the plane was constructed to get me to the Bahamas, because I cannot enjoy anything until I learn how this plane was made.
You know,
there's so many people
that want to know why. There's so many questions on why and life. And I think this is, you know, my thoughts on this kind of go like this. And I've been bringing this full circle with Tyler's mind the past few days. And over the next few days, I'm going to gain insight. But it goes back to the idea of, is knowledge important?
Yes.
And Tyler, you know, said something. This was Gerald Ford. Why don't you tell him the Gerald Ford story?
All right. Henry Ford.
Henry Ford created Ford's T car,
the first Ford vehicle, the first economy family vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, I was very fortunate growing up. My brother was a huge capitalist, and he made me read all the books on J.P. Morgan and Rockefeller and Ford. And there's Ford really struck me, and to this day, I just remember this guy. And I tie it into today, and I was sharing this with Doug. Ford, obviously, was very rich. But back in the day, and this ties into what the respectable thing was knowledge. If you have high intellect, like Einstein, then you are impressive. I don't care how much money you have, your intellect and your knowledge will impress me. You could have all the money in the world, but if you don't have intellect and knowledge, I'm writing you off. And that's what they did with Henry Ford. They said, they confronted Henry Ford one day, and they said, Henry, you know, you got millions of dollars, that's great. You know, but we got to confront you and tell you, you don't know anything. If we were to ask you a simple math question or a world history question, you'd get it wrong. And Henry Ford said, no, you know what, guys, I won't get it wrong. I actually take you up on your challenge, and let's set up a time for you guys to ask me any question you want, and I'll have the answer for you. And they said, oh, yeah, good, then we will. And they did. And they set up a big news broadcast, and they had Henry Ford there. And they had some of the most brilliant minds in the world ready to just throw questions at Henry Ford. And everyone probably knows the story, but it's so Henry Ford's sitting there, and he has all these telephones on the table. And they had their mathematician ask the question to Henry, you know, what's 80 million times 4,000 divided by 1.7. And Henry Ford had his phone labeled math, and he picked it up, gave the question, and he gave them the answer. And they said, well, that's not fair. You're asking, you're calling someone, and you're getting the answer. And he said, exactly. He said, why should I try to learn everything and figure everything out when I can find the guy who's already spent his life doing that and have my mind free to do the hardest thing in that thing?
Now, think about that. Because you know, it goes always back, is knowledge important? And Tyler always is so, it's like Tyler says, look, feeling's important, love is important.
Knowledge is overwhelming.
Knowledge, you just have to, you want some knowledge, go to the library. If you want some knowledge, but it's not going to be the thing that you need to work on.
And here's
knowledge is always going to be there. You can pull from the knowledge bank.
Yes.
But what you're here to do is work on your feelings.
So what I wanted to say, and what I was saying to Doug, is I truly believe this. And this is fact, guys. For all those logical people out there with their high intellects, which is great, and I'm really not downing on you. I'm really not. I'm just opening up the other spectrum. That's it. I'm really actually impressed by intelligent, logical people, because that's something of great discipline, and that's something that's very difficult to achieve. You know, to sit down and read many, many books and to continue to challenge yourself on an intellectual level is very difficult. And also on the other end, the feeling end as well, the intuition end, they're both tough journeys, so kudos. But I wanted to say that this is fact. We use 10% of our brain. This is what they say. We use 10% of our brain. So I call that a jab, right? Let's take this, because I always keep things simple. Let's take it simply, boxing match. You got your 10% of your brain, which is your jab, right? You're not really fully punching, right? Because your jab's just to kind of coax. You use your right hand, or if you're left-handed, to really slam them and knock them out. So you want to coax them with your jab and slam them with your right. So if you're only using 10% of your brain, what in a boxing match, what would you rather have? So you use 10% of your brain, and we use 100% of our feelings. And I got to tell you, I've experienced times where I've used 100% of my feelings, and it's amazing. I had my body tingling. I had tears running through my eyes. We do use 100% of our feeling. I know that for a fact. So I would call that my right hook. I would call that my knockout punch. So let me ask you this. You want to win a boxing match. What are you going to work on? Having a powerful jab and an all right, you know, knockout punch, or a knockout punch that if it touches you, you're out for the count. I got to tell you, I would rather have the strongest punch that could knock you out than and have a medium okay jab.
Which, if anybody picks their friends, what do you base them on? Their knowledge bank? Or their ability to be friendly with you? The feelings that they possess? The human qualities of love and compassion that drive us together? That put us together. Computers don't want to get together. Computer doesn't give a shit. It's sitting there on one place, and there's another computer somewhere else.
That's right.
So knowledge, in my opinion, isn't the key. It was really tough for me because when you're a kid, everybody says you got to learn, you got to do this, you got to be better. If you don't get these good grades, you know, I think they forgot the message of really teaching us the most important aspects of who we are, and that's to develop our own inner feelings. Is there something else?
Yes. So that and in saying that, you know, I truly believe that knowing that you have, you know, your logical end, which is your jab, and you have your feeling end, which is your punch, and you know, Doug's saying computers, they don't really get along, or you know, you could have all this information in a computer, you could have all this logic, but what are you gonna do with it, right? Yeah?
Yeah.
Let me throw this in. I believe that life is like the Henry Ford analogy. I really do. I'm really starting to believe this. And I remember speaking to you about this yesterday. I believe that Einstein, all of these people who've come up with logic, who've come up with, who spent their lives writing books, researching information, making it available to all of us, to us, everything. I could go, if I wanted to, and I was driven, and I wanted to spend the rest of my life, I could learn how to go make a plane. I don't know if I could make it, but I could at least get very deep in the understanding of how it's made, if I wanted to, and that was what I was going to spend, and it's all available to us. And in having that, I believe that's all been released to the collective conscience. And I believe that those guys have paved the way for all of this knowledge, and they've stored it. So we almost had to go through this intellect, this knowledge, this IQ. That's where all the schools are based on from our industrial age, our parents, 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 on creating these schools that teach the intellect. Because that, in that day and age, was the most important thing. Intellect, intellect, intellect. We're finding atomic energy. We're finding this, da da da. We need that continuing intellect. And I believe all of that has been, you know, we spent a great 100 years, I could say, on that one specific thing.
Yeah, if we were going to do a genetic, a clone?
Yeah.
We'd clone a person for their what? Intellect. Not for their feeling potential.
That's so
good. You know what I mean?
That's brilliant what you just said. So get this. So in knowing that at some time in our history.
And by the way, here's the funny part about that.
Mm-hmm.
People that are a little bit handicapped, they generally have that feeling in abundance. Isn't that odd?
That is very, very interesting.
And I take you to a different state of mind entirely.
Uh-huh.
Only because this is something that all the spiritualists read. You all read this. This is like in the basic definition of what does a spiritualist know. And I get this, but we go from our heart chakra to a chakra of wisdom, I believe, and then we go into the next dimension, which is more of a
what is it, a communicate, not a wisdom, a compassion model. I'm not sure which.
You
but,
are the prime example
but here's
of
the killer.
And I love it.
Here's the killer, because they just don't get all this. It's almost like, okay, love comes first, and then what we're going to do is we're going to build wisdom, and then we're going that is going to come to a higher level, because the wisdom and the love combined gives you compassion, and you got to flow through all these layers before you unite with the Creator.
But what about this? Keep it this simple, right? We've had our evolution, instinct, caveman days. See, I love, I like, I want to eat this, I want to burn this guy, it's purely instinct. Then we had an age where we mixed the two, instinct and intellect, right?
Mm.
And now all this intellect, 100 years has been spent entirely on intellect, which is all available to us in books, in what, but most importantly, the collective conscience. See, while Einstein, I truly believe, was there creating all his theories, releasing his energy and his excitement to the world, he was releasing all of this knowledge he was tapping into to the collective conscience.
Absolutely.
And I truly believe this. I believe in this. The people that channel and have profound messages, or the people, well, you know, all of these individuals who are coming up with profound knowledge in whatever way it is, if it's innate knowledge or intuition or both of them,
yeah.
I believe it's something so simple as all they're doing is tapping into the collective conscience. But, to you know, if they're a logical person, they have to believe that it's Henry, Arthur from 1789 who sailed the ocean blue, and he's living in a spirit form, and he's chosen to channel himself through this individual, and he calls them Pierre, because Pierre was their best friend, and they were Pierre at one point in their life, and this guy comes through them because Pierre was his best friend, and he's here
and
to
he doesn't need to experience ego because of it, because he's placed
exactly
on it.
So in some way, that is a beautiful thing. But I truly believe it's as simple as all this person did, and everybody here can do it. There's nobody who cannot.
That's right.
Tap into the
collective
conscience.
You don't need spirit guides per se. You don't need a special space aliens visiting
yeah,
you.
Exactly.
You don't
need a pyramid on your head.
You don't need a pyramid
well,
on your
head. Well, maybe you do.
Maybe
that
helps
how
you.
They,
maybe it helps you internalize
that's how they get
some,
to open
some
up.
Energy for it.
Exactly. Who are we?
But really, ultimately, if we put you out
all
by yourself, you should be able to do it simply through
the collective.
Yeah, but you don't need anything. It's all within you. There's no better. You can't build a better mouse bridge to source. It's already there. How can you do it? How can you build a better mouse bridge to source than you?
Exactly. So check this out. In knowing that there's a collective conscience, in many times through our history and in this present day, people tap into it all the time. I got to tell you, I read things that make me cry, and I got to tell you, that comes from the collective conscience or something much more powerful than us. In knowing that you can tap into that, remember, because we all came from the same place, and at one time, all that we see, everything that's ever existed, was nothing. So we all came from the same place. I don't care if you're a telephone, a book, a carpet, a human being, a monkey, you all came from the same place. And all of this information is same place. So if we're all one, and we can tap into the collective conscience, I truly believe that in maybe not in this day and age, but in our children's day and age, or the next generation's day and age, the 3-4-year-olds, they're going to start to learn that they already know everything. That the math class is going to be not math with books and numbers anymore. It's going to be processes that help these individuals tap in to the collective conscience on a mathematic level or whatever. So I got to tell you, I kind of feel like Henry Ford. I would rather, instead of reading millions and thousands, because I went to the Bodhi Tree, and this is one bookstore in the United States. I can tell you there were at least 200,000 books.
Yeah.
Instead of me getting so strung up on, oh boy, I got to read 200,000 some odd books to really get there, I would rather spend my time learning how to open up myself, be in my peak state, and tap into the collective conscience, intuition, innate knowledge, and spend my time there growing and seeing if what I have to say is true.
You know? What are your thoughts? That's a good question. My thoughts in particular, it's tough. It's tough for me to put any answer because into the future I want to experience it all in toto, from one end of the spectrum to the other. Whether I partition various dimensional segments of it to learn through to learn things, or put them all together so I learn things. I see, but I do believe with you in that we're coming to an age where we are going to be much more inclined to reach into a collective consciousness and to gain information through that source rather than to read it from a book, because what you read from a book isn't something that real insight isn't insight of the world about you. It's insight into who you are.
And get this, you just hit something strong. I remember when I first met you, you told me, I said, what's the last book you read? You said, I don't no longer read books. I meditate. And I just thought about it. Where do you think all of these books that have been compiled come from?
People's meditation.
Meditation and deep connection to oneself.
Right.
So instead of trying to learn and read all these books, why not read all these books on how to get to where that person got, so that information can flow through?
Spend time with creation. Whatever way you do it, whether you're doing it by weightlifting and you're thinking about it, or you're doing it through a leisurely swim or a meditative a Tai Chi, you can do it in any way you want to. But
I
as long as
that.
You spend time with yourself, reaching a higher place, finding out your higher motives, finding out how to reach into that higher energy that you possess, you get there and it permeates throughout the rest of your day, the rest of your life.
And let me add to this. You could have a plane of 30 people who all head to the Bahamas on this reward, because we all were given a reward here. We came on a plane, which no one can, till this day, explain how we got here. They all have thoughts, they all have, but nobody really knows how it happens, right?
You know.
So, you know, just because I have information on surfing, you might want to spend the day bodyboarding, or you might want to go hiking, you know. So the information that comes through you when you meditate, when you connect to who you are and you open to the collective conscience, is information that you already stored and said, this is what I need to download into my experience because this is what I want from my reward. We all have unique information that's available to
us. That's right.
You know what I mean?
That.
For those guys that want to go surfing, all that information is going to become available.
So what you're saying is, reaching into collective consciousness is a unique experience as well.
Quite possibly.
So you're right. So it's not only the collective bank appropriate to all,
right,
but the collective bank appropriate to you individually.
Yes. And I got to tell you, it's so crazy how these minutes pass. I got something real quick, and maybe, you know, we'll elaborate on it next week. But you are the one, sir, who came up with this belief. And this was, well, you know, remember, you'll remember this conversation. You were saying that you truly believe, and we were having this discussion because we were with a friend who was not happy with her appearance. And you came to this understanding, and you were sharing and elaborating with us that our higher self, because this is a suit of armor that we're in, and I believe when we all die, we have all the answers, everything is clear, and we're in our exact purest form.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you that your exact purest form is perfect and right. So before you came here, you knew exactly how you needed to look for your journey. So everything physically about you, your nose, your lips, your eyes, your face, your body, your body is based on how you enjoy your journey. If you're going to pig out on snacks, you're going to be fat and it will affect your, but if you eat properly, you take care of your physical form is perfect. You chose that for a reason, because it's going to attract the people that need to be in your life. The girl of your dreams is going to fall in love with you because you're that thing. Or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in knowing that, our higher self has already planned this journey and has already stored everything away for us, and it's gone into this body, because the only way I truly believe for us to enjoy this reward is to have the limitations we have.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I totally agree.
What do you think of that? I mean, this was your discovery.
Yeah, well, I absolutely believe that. I believe that you are a product of your... You are evolving on a plan. It's not really... You know, this is hard to believe, but there can be predisposition of the future, something planned, or there can be something that's totally unique and random in that instance. It's almost like you can have both at once. But your higher self that doesn't take time into account
and
has,
is out of the body.
And it's out of the
body. Out of the body, in its appearance
form. Yeah, in its appearance form where there is no time, and there is no space.
There is no ego, no hate. Just love.
It's you reaching into your purest form.
Yes.
It's you reaching into your purest form, your higher state. Because
Well, one would call their higher self.
Yeah. And that higher state guides you.
Plan this whole thing.
It guides you.
So if this is your reward, you've literally sat there in whatever time, space, reality you needed to be, and you said, I want this face. I want this body. I want that nose because this and that.
And here's the funny part.
And I want to learn this knowledge. And I want to be an actor or an accountant. That's how I want to enjoy my experience.
Here's how these people get guided. You're running. You're a little kid. You're a 5-year-old. You're running after mommy. And mommy goes, come here, come here, come here. Or the teacher says, come here. Or a book says, read this. But, you know, you're never everybody's always guiding
you
rather than you guiding yourself.
You just said something brilliant. From the time you're born, you're either on a skateboard, or you're learning bikes, or you're playing in the mud, building sandcastles.
Somebody else is pulling you along.
In your DNA structure, which is showing you who you are to become and what you've chosen.
Wow.
I love that. That's freaking great.
I mean,
that makes me think.
And we should reach into that. Find out and follow it more. It's the best way
and
to follow it is do what you want.
Or check this out.
Through feeling and intuition. Through following your intuition.
And
getting your feeling out. Understanding that emotional level that you have.
So we put ourselves on the map, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that we want to go north.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our higher self, God gave us a compass called our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who have any desires, whether it be moving to a city, having a specific vocation, something as mundane as driving a certain car, that's nothing but your heart going, hey, this is what you know you're supposed to experience. This is your reward. So if you ever have a feeling in your heart of wanting something, you just remember this. Heart, you cannot explain. It is not your brain. Your brain has reasons, logic, answers. Your heart is nothing but a feeling. If you have anything in your life that's ever a feeling, you just can't explain it, you need to explore that because that's your compass going, this way's north.
Yeah, and when you don't listen to your feeling, that's when you begin to hate yourself. You know when you did something wrong. You know when you ate too much. You know when you didn't work out. You know when you think you didn't work hard enough. You know when you didn't treat somebody well. And then sooner or later you tell yourself enough things that you actually get ill and sick and don't want to live anymore.
And I got to tell you, this opens up, and let's remember this conversation is, this opens up next week because this is truly a conversation that
I challenge everybody.
Yes.
I want everybody out there to email us their definition of what a judgment is. I want to know what. Give me the definition of a judgment. And that would be sent to Doug at BBS Radio or Tyler at BBSRadio.com.
I love that. And keeping in your hearts for next week, the idea that your higher self, God, gave you a compass on your journey called your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, what is the definition of judgment? We're setting up next week.
Yes, we are. Loved it, Tyler. Loved the conversation, my friend.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you all.
It's just exciting. I swear, if we have zero listeners, the bliss and the feelings that I have just doing the show with you is more.
Now we want everybody to run out, go to your local Amazon store, ask them to request our video. We will see you next week,
and
same time,
thank
on Inner
on Inner Dialogue, and thank you for listening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.